The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome to the True Wealth Radio Show. Today I'm your host, Matt Dixon, and with me in studio, like usual, when I'm running this thing,
Justin Brueggemann.
All right, Justin, thanks so much for joining in. Hey, I've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited about this show. You want to know why?
Why?
Oftentimes we have like this like almost sense of gloom and doom, right?
Yeah.
Because the markets throw you a curveball. Or, you know, headline news tends to be that way, right? And so you're piggybacking some of that. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, here are all the things that you could do to be better off.
Or should be doing.
We're going the exact opposite direction. We're going to talk to you about all of the things that you might be doing that are great already, right? And I kind of want to even lean into, like, here are some ways you might know that you're doing pretty well. Because
okay.
we always talk about all the ways that you could be doing better
right.
or things that you're doing wrong. Let's talk about all the things that you're doing right. And when you happen to be the, you know, checking a box here, go ahead and pat yourself on the back.
Right.
How about that? So, Justin, do you want to kind of like take it from here and give me like one of the things that comes to your mind when you think about ways that things could actually be going pretty good?
Yeah, because, I mean, we kind of talk a lot about, like, you know, what you should be doing, and we don't really discuss what people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is going to be not for everybody, but this is going to be pretty generic.
Okay.
Over 50% of companies in the U.S. have 401ks.
Right.
That are extremely underutilized.
Or underappreciated, even.
And underappreciated.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially ones that come with a match.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I think we kind of run into, you know, people think they're behind because they're chasing, you know, I need to replace 100% of income, which realistically that may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
But they have this vehicle that is available to them that even if you make little adjustments can make massive long-term changes retirement wise.
Yeah, and some of those changes can be as simple as like, hey, I got a raise and I'm going to bump up my contribution just 1%, right? I was doing 5%, now I'm doing 6% because I got a raise.
Right.
And I still get, you know, a little extra each month into my, you know, bank account, and my retirement account contributions are now up a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, little things.
And it's one of those, I read that it's so... A 1% increase, if I told you I'll give you a 250% return on that right away, you would say, yes, I'll just do that.
Yeah.
You add 1% into your 401k, 35 years later, it probably makes a 3% difference
on the total
in your
value.
Annual spending.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're giving up 1% now for an extra 3% later.
People,
annualized.
Yeah. And what's crazy is like a lot of people, they don't even contribute to their workplace 401k.
Right.
They just opt out. They're like, no, I want all the money today. Sure, you might have to do that. I get it. Times
yep.
are difficult. But for the people that are doing this, right, you might be saving more than you think. Because a lot of people don't log in and check their retirement balances.
And they're don't even understand that there a match is available.
That's true.
I mean, that's 100% return right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just, you know, again, normalizing, I guess you can call it, is if you work at a place long enough and you're putting in 401k contributions and getting a match and, you know, funneling into Social Security.
Yeah.
Retirement, that's probably a 60 to 70% replacement of income.
Right. Yeah.
And it's available to... You know, a majority of people, not everyone. Some will have different vehicles, like a simple plan that has a match involved. But these tools are available sometimes even at your workplace, majority of the time, yeah. and where you don't have to think about it.
Sure.
And if it's percentage based, then anytime you get a raise, you're automatically increasing more. But I would encourage that if you can increase it by 1%, try it.
Yeah.
And then do the same thing next year. And then 5 years down the road, you are contributing 15 to 18%.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to that idea of like just the amount of time that you spend being in the market, right? It generally kind of matters more than just perfectly timing it mm-hmm. because like everyone's always talking about like the market's up or the market's down.
Right.
But if you're putting in money every single month, like clockwork,
right.
you're buying the market at all the different points throughout history, especially if you've got 20, 30 years to be in the market. You're starting out somewhat young. It's like, oh, well, the market's falling. Well, you're buying it lower and lower and lower, right? And then when it goes up, it's like, oh, sweet. You know, I bought it when it was going down. I'm buying it when it's going up. And over a long enough period of time, that tends to be a decent strategy.
Yeah. Because you're not as subject to the timing of it.
Exactly.
And so being consistent is sometimes arguably more beneficial than timing it right.
Right. And I even tell people when they're first starting a retirement account, they're always worried about like the risk of the market. And I said, okay. And I just play it back to them like, all right, you're starting out. Your first contribution is $200. If the market goes down 10%, your account's down $20. Are you devastated? And they're like, well, no. And I'm like, so how long do you have to contribute for until your account is big enough to where you're even concerned about the market pulling back? And then they're like, well, now that you put it that way, let's just get the money in there and let's get it to work.
And also, I mean, if your employer doesn't have an employer-sponsored plan, doesn't have the, you know, it's going to create more work for you or to find somebody that'll help with.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, but there's still options.
There's still options. There's still lots of options.
And one of the things, you know, we talked about before the show off air a little bit was you were saying like, you know, there are so many more tools now, right? Like as information has increased, as AI makes things, you know, sometimes easier to understand, not always, but there is just, it's a lot easier to access information anymore.
Yeah.
So these things are out there.
Automatic enrollment is a real thing. And I mean, we run into this a lot. How many people are millionaires just because they did it consistent and often?
Yeah, a lot, actually. A lot more than you'd probably think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you have a 40-year time horizon, you know, before accessing the funds, which I get that that changes as life changes. And sometimes you're probably doing more. Sometimes you're probably doing less. But the real question I would have is, how much are you doing? Because I would imagine 50% of the people have no idea.
Yeah.
Whatever they signed up during the enrollment of, you know, the new employment and where you're just trying to check boxes and get to work.
A lot of people don't know the dollar amount going in.
Yeah.
They might know a percentage. They're like, I'm doing 3%. I'm doing the minimum.
Right.
What really blows people's mind is when I say, hey, check out this investment calculator. And I put in their age and how much they have, and we assume a rate of return, right? Not that that's going to be accurate, but it's like, well, the market's averaged this. What if you get that?
Right.
You plug in the numbers and how long they plan to work for, and then it starts to get really real because it's like, well, what's $200 a month look like versus $300 a month?
Right.
And the statistics show that roughly like, I think it's like 1 in 4 people right now are putting 10% or more into their retirement account.
Right.
And that for most metrics and most people's understanding of retirement accounts, that's a pretty healthy rate. Like if you're doing 10 and say your employer is doing 3 as an example, 13% of your pay, that can snowball, you know, like in your later years if you start early enough. So yeah, I think you make good points. There's a lot of things that have happened, you know, between the automatic enrollments, people bumping up the percentage that they increase. If you're doing these things, right, you might be saving more than you think.
You know, and it might also is when you transition jobs, because that's more common.
Yeah.
Is the lag time between even starting and starting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you switch five jobs and it's a 6 month transition to each one,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're losing whatever, you know, 2.5 years of investing.
Yeah.
So being cautious and being understanding that, you know, at $100,000, a 1% increase at 26 pay periods, it's $38.
Mm-hmm.
$38 over a 40-year time frame could make a couple $100,000 difference in retirement.
Right. You just stretch the time frame out long enough.
Right.
And then, boom, it's making a difference. It was funny. I was talking with a guy recently, and this is a friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty young. He's just starting out of college, got his first job. We were talking, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm trying to figure out the whole investing thing. What would be some just generic advice you could give me?
Okay.
And it was literally, this was like 2 or 3 years ago now. And I said, hey, just like start investing. He's like, what do I invest in? I'm like, I can't really give you, you know, specific
right.
advice. I'm like, but, you know, get going, like get going early. And I said, research it. You're a smart guy. I believe
right.
you can figure it out. And I talked about, you know, a workplace retirement account. I talked about a brokerage account. And I talked about all the different areas you could put money.
Right.
And I just laid it out on the table. And I'm like, here's all the options that you have. Do some research and just start going. And I got to talk to him just the other day.
Okay.
And it's been years. And, you know, we're talking young kid, early 20s out mm-hmm. of college. And he's like, hey, Matt, I'm doing great. Look at how much money I've got in my brokerage account. And I got started on a workplace retirement account recently. And he's showing me the numbers. And he's like, this is cool. I read this book. He actually went out and got a book from a real, you know, published author that's been doing it for a lot of years.
Right.
And he's like, look at the funds I picked. How did I do? And I'm like, man, like everything looks like you're on a great track. You
right.
know? And it's cool to see because it was only 2 years
right.
since he started, and he was infinitely better off.
Yeah.
And what was he doing? He was saving money. He mm-hmm. wasn't spending it all. He was saving. He was putting it in some assets that managed to appreciate.
Yeah.
And things were looking great for him, and it really clicked. So I encourage everyone, do your research, right?
Yeah.
If you're listening to this show, that's a good first step. You're trying to gain some information.
Right.
But researching this, there are so many tools at your disposal, and just get going.
And if it's too overwhelming and it's not, you know, a strong suit,
mm-hmm.
give us a call.
Yeah, that's literally like what we do like, for a living. Like that's
if
why
you don't
want to
stress about it, let us.
Yeah, because I can vouch for the fact that Justin has lost sleep at night thinking about investments,
Thank you for not saying hair. I appreciate that.
But yeah, no, that's what we get paid to do.
Yep.
So if you have like an inheritance or an IRA or an old retirement account floating around and you want someone to talk to, Little John Financial is there for you. But hey, Justin, guess what?
Break time.
It's break time. When we get back, I want to actually pivot for a minute and talk about all those boring decisions that people are doing
okay.
that are maybe helping make them rich. And you might not even know that you're doing it. So let's take a profit break. When we get back, we'll talk about it. You guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where I'm your host today, Matt Dixon, with me in studio.
Justin Bruggeman.
All right, Justin. So we left people off on this concept of, hey, let's give you something to pat your back about,
yep.
right? So what are these things that you're doing right? And the first idea was maybe you're saving more than you think.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to pivot over now that we're back from
the break.
If you're
not sure, check.
Yeah. Yeah. Give us a call. 541-375-0898. One day I swear I'm going to accidentally give my cell phone out.
I hope you do.
They're so close. Like the numbers are so close. I'm just going to like, ugh. I've been known to do this.
I don't know how to make a reel, but I'm going to create one just with your phone number. And I'm just going to spread it.
Yes. Yeah, do it. That's funny. Okay. So, Justin, let's talk about some of the boring things that people are doing that might be making them rich. Or, I'm throwing you a curveball here.
Okay.
Maybe some of the ways that you might be able to tell just based off of a behavior or maybe like a thing such as like you aren't checking your bank account anymore.
Okay.
Right? Like you don't need to. You don't need to get in there and look to see if a check is going to bounce or whatever.
Okay.
Like you just know the money's there. You know that it's padded. Things are good. So tell me, what are either some of the decisions that people are making or some of the signs that you might well be on your way to being quote unquote, and I'm quoting this, air quoting it, rich. I don't like that word because
yeah,
that's so relative.
Wealthy?
But right? Like what is rich? Because
yeah.
I feel like if you live in this country and you have air conditioning and good access to food,
right.
And your own bed to sleep in, like to the rest of the world, you're probably pretty rich.
Yeah.
But I think today we're talking about the more American version of rich. Give
well,
it to me. What do you
I mean,
think?
I guess the big one that I see most common is people are driving cars longer.
Okay. Like that's one of those boring decisions.
Yeah. I mean, average life or, you know, average car on the road's 13 years old.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty hard to get ahead and drift towards air quote rich if you're buying a new car every 4 years and losing half its value.
Right.
Like, oh, I bought a $40,000 rig. And now it's a $20,000 rig traded in. $20,000 loss over 3 years. That's
right.
Like, it's hard to out earn that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
following
assuming you.
You
paid cash for it.
Yeah. But then again, you might be rich enough to where $20,000 is a drop
pocket
in the
pocket change.
Yeah, sure. But for most people, I would say that that's a pretty big hit to the finances if you're doing that all the time, over and over and over again.
Cooking at home.
Ooh.
To me, this one is one of the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm.
And even one less restaurant meal, which now I think you can call it restaurant or fast food meal because I feel like they're about the same anymore.
Okay.
Each week, one less is over $1,000 savings each year.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
I guess it would probably depend on what you're buying for
right.
home.
I mean, but let's think about it. Let's think about this. If you're going to the grocery store and you have, say, a family of four, let's just rough out some numbers just for fun. And this is not in the notes. But what is the average grocery bill a month for a family of four? I'm going to guess around here, maybe somewhere around $1,000, maybe $1,200. If you're,
I guess pretty close.
Yeah.
Between
right?
900 and I think 1400.
Okay. So in a week, it's not outrageous to go spend, you know, $400 a week in groceries.
Is it? Yeah.
I mean, $300 to $400. That's not crazy, right?
No.
$300 a week. All right. So if
no,
yeah. So if $300 gets you through a week, and there's 5 days in a week.
Okay.
What's the average cost there? You know what I mean?
Right.
So let's just do the math. 300 divided by five. We've got $60 a day.
Okay.
You're eating three meals. And that's $20 a meal.
Okay.
If you're buying the groceries and you're cooking it. For all, how many?
For
four
a family
of you.
Of four, yeah.
Yeah, so if you go out to breakfast for four people.
It's a $100 bill.
It's a $100 bill all day long.
Yeah.
It's five times more expensive to eat out.
Right.
Based on that rough math. So
right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 5X-ing the bill. So.
Right. Yeah, it's almost roughly, call it, even if it says $20 a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's $1,000 over 52 weeks.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy how little, how much you can waste without really realizing it.
Yeah, and I'm the type of person that, like, whenever I go out to eat, now, not always, I can't say always, but I really like finding value in, like, if I'm doing fast food or, like, whatever. So, for example, today, I found great value. I find it every Tuesday. I go and I get my tacos, right? Taco Tuesday.
Okay.
$2 tacos. I can eat three of them and be fine for lunch. I'm like, I spent $6.
Right.
Six times four. If I was feeding four people, $24. That's pretty close to that $20 yep. mark, right? So I'm like, I'm paying a little bit extra, but not by much. But man, if I go have a $20 cheeseburger and a, you know, a soda and fries and like leave a big tip, ooh, like
yeah,
that
it'll eat away.
The math, it starts to not math. So good one, I like that. Cooking at home. What else do you got for me, Justin? You're on a roll.
Oh,
keep it going.
Sure. Generic brands. Ugh. Buying some generic brands, which that's a soft or a tough subject, would you call it around
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I don't like this.
Because there's certain things I won't skip on.
I there's stuff I won't skimp on.
Yeah.
Like shoes, you best believe I am not buying a generic shoe
well,
brand.
You have a size 18 foot.
I mean,
there
you're
isn't
not wrong.
No generic
you're
shoes.
Not wrong. But like, I like good shoes. That's one thing I really can't skimp on. So. But yes, I do feel like generic. Okay.
I mean, mine's cheese, but same thing. But.
Oh, really? You have yeah. to have the expensive. I'm not going to name brands on air, but I bought a block of cheese from the store and I brought it home.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife just looked at, I think she wanted to throw it at me. I think that's what was going through her mind because she's like, this is not, and she loves Tillamook cheese. That is like her okay. favorite. And I bought an off brand one yep. that was not Tillamook. And yeah, it was almost the end of me.
Yeah, so. That's not okay. You can't do that.
No, don't buy off-brand cheese. What are some of the things that you? I'm prying into your personal life on air, so forgive
okay.
me. What are some of the generic things that you will buy? I'll give you.
Well,
mine.
I'm better with the things that I won't buy, which this is stupid. Generic top ramen.
Okay.
Like the maraschino or
yeah,
whatever.
Oh, yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
You can't do that
I
one.
I can't. I absolutely hate it.
Okay.
It was in my wedding vows. So it was not allowed to be bought.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my gosh.
In both of our wedding vows.
Okay. One of the things I will do generic brands are is medicine. So, like,
okay.
Like the Tylenol name brand
yeah.
versus, like, the Equate version
yeah.
or whatever the house brand is. And I'm like, look at the back of the bottle. It's the same thing, except you're paying five times more for
yeah.
it. So I can't do that. What are some of the other generic things?
I mean, certain
vegetables.
Cereals,
sometimes like
certain cereals don't taste the same.
The canned vegetables, not all.
Okay.
But like some of the time, like you know, you got the $2 can of vegetables versus the 90-cent one. It's
yeah.
like, eh, do I really want to spend double? Not today. So sometimes you can go a little lower on the shelf there. Anything else that you can think of?
I mean, paying the credit cards off in full. I mean,
oh, please, yeah.
I mean, that's the interest savings on that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Credit card interest rates are out of control, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, if you're having to finance almost
life.
Anything in your life, the bank is winning, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm not saying never do it, but... Like, so there were times, like, I can remember early on in my marriage where I was looking at our bank account, right? And there's almost nothing in it. And then I'm looking at, like, a car, right? And I'm, okay, I need a vehicle and I need reliable transportation.
Right.
I can go buy this $7,000 or $8,000 used rig, or I can go buy, and this was... this actually happened. I can remember it. It wasn't that long ago. I got a brand new car for 12 grand.
Okay.
And I was looking at it. I'm like, 6 to 8 grand for the used one or 12,000 for the new one. And I'm like, well, if I buy the used one and I deplete all my savings or I have to take a loan out on it, right?
Okay.
If the engine blows up or the transmission goes out, I'm stuck with a payment and something that's not working. So I'm double whammied.
Okay.
I would rather the bank carry some of the risk. I get to keep my cash in the bank and I'm looking at it. Okay, I got a $300 car payment on a new rig that I can depend on. That's a 100,000 mile warranty. I'm okay coming up with a $300 a month to make sure that I'm not the one that has to have the $5,000 or $6,000 repair bill that wipes me out. So I'm not saying that all debt is bad, but you got to use it sparingly and you got to know when to use it versus when to just pay cash.
Right.
So.
Which, and it can be different for every person.
It can.
Very much
if
so.
If you need a second opinion from financial right. advisors, you can call Little John Financial at 541-375-0898. David, if he's listening to this show, is probably stop plugging the show with our name all over it. But hey, that's what we exist for, right? We're there to try and help you out. And guess what? Consultations are free. We're not going to charge you to come in and chat about what you got going on in your life to see if there's a way that we can help. At the end of the day, we want to figure out ways to make sure that you leave in better shape than you came in. So there's my last shameless plug for the show. Maybe. I might do another one. Be prepared. And
the other kind of is you can practice too. Is if the car payment is a debate on whether you want to do it or think you can afford it or not.
Yeah.
Put it aside every month for 6 months.
Oh, the
or
extra?
What the car payment would be.
Oh, yeah. Practice to see if you can afford the car payment.
Exactly.
Oh, I was dealing with that today in another roundabout way. I was working with someone who was trying to get a budget together for their retirement.
Yep.
And they're like, I don't know if I can pull that amount per month and make it. And I'm like, well, just try.
Well,
the reality is,
practice.
Practice. Do it. And if you need more money, it's still there.
Right.
But if you're trying to live below your means a little bit, just give it a whirl. And that's the great thing about having extra resources on hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can try that to see if it works. But if there's no savings or there's no fallback, well, ugh.
I mean, the importance of an emergency fund is...
It's a big
it's
one.
It's real.
And a lot of people don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So having some cash in the piggy bank or... Yeah. Real bank.
And by emergency fund, we mean depending on having between 3 to 6 months expenses on the sideline.
That would be ideal. Yeah, that would be ideal.
And then the Dave Ramsey way, start with $1,000 first, then work your way from there.
I got a couple for you, Justin, that I'm going to rattle off. These are just some of the ways you might be actually doing better than you think. So you talked about some of the ways. Let me talk about some of the signs, okay? One that I find interesting, and I actually see this pretty often when talking with people, is you own assets that you forgot that you actually owned.
Okay.
How many times has that happened to you, Justin?
Yes.
A person comes in and they're like, all right, here's all my stuff. And then like 3 months later, they call you and they're like, hey, I forgot. I have like 2 retirement accounts at this old place I used to work at. There's like 30 grand in the... They forgot about it because there was so much in these other accounts. And they were doing so well, they forgot about it. So that's maybe a sign. Do you have any
old pensions? Signs? I've seen multiple times people forgetting that they have them.
What about when inflation just becomes annoying? It doesn't break you, right? For some people, inflation is breaking them. They are so fixed, like their monthly expenses are so fixed that like if gas doubles, it's a real problem.
Right.
But if you're not feeling that, it's just annoying, you're not feeling it, that might be a sign that you're doing pretty good. Here's another good one. Well, I've got time for it.
You're just obliviously blind to it. You're just like, I don't want to look.
Yeah. This is a good one. Your relationships are creating you wealth.
Okay. Explain.
So, yeah, you're running in a circle where the people that you know and you're interacting with are generating... Well, this actually happened to me. I can give you a real example.
Okay.
I've got a good set of friends. One day my friend called me and we're just chatting, right? He's like, man, Matt, I'm saving so much money. And I'm like, really? How are you doing it? And he said, well, I refinanced my house. Mortgage rates dropped. They're at 2.3%.
Okay.
And I'm like, and this is back way before I was a financial advisor. And I was like, okay, well, tell me more. Like, how much are you saving? And he told me the numbers and I'm like, get out of town. That's not real, is it? And he's like, no, seriously, it's real. So I started doing the numbers and I looked at what I was paying. And then I looked at a 15-year mortgage at 2.something%.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wait, if I refinance, my monthly payment doesn't really change, but it cuts the term of the loan in half.
Right.
And like the interest to principal ratio flips upside down.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa, you know, and I did it. And thanks to my buddy, because had I not been on the phone that day, I wouldn't even have known that interest rates were that low. So that's that comment I made. Relationships creating wealth. If you're running in circles with successful people that bring, excuse me, bring you good ideas, that can be a huge wealth-generating thing. But Justin, we're running long. We got to take a break. I'm long-winded today. All right, you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQN. We will be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where we are hopefully making you feel really good about your financial future. Hopefully. If not, and you're like, none of these things are happening in my life, well, maybe do more research and
give us a call.
Give us a call, yeah. Justin, so what have we kind of talked about so far? Kind of recap it back to me a little bit and then tell me where this ship is headed.
The recap is, you know, we talked about 401ks and kind of retirement savings. And if you're not doing it, you probably should be. And if you are doing it, you should probably track how much.
Yeah.
Because it may make huge difference.
Okay.
And then what was the other? Oh, that's right. It's how people are living. What would they call it? What would you call that, Matt? Boring decisions we make. Can absolutely move the needle over.
Yeah. And then I kind of finished this up with some of the signs that you might be kind of like doing pretty good. Right. And I didn't even finish all of them, but that's okay. We can keep going here. Justin, talk to me a little bit about maybe some of the financial advantages that people have right now that they might not even be thinking about, right? Because things have changed. We're living in what seems like almost a different world than we were 10 years ago. So what are some of the advantages that people have today that can help make them, air quotes, rich?
Well, I mean, kind of a basic one is the do-it-yourself ability now. With the different platforms that, I mean, you can open up an IRA account, you know, by the time I finish this
radio show. Yeah.
And so just having that availability to the technology to be able to invest and also to budget.
Okay. Let me talk about budgeting. That's a buzzword for me right now. Budgeting. Okay. So I was super blessed because someone gave me this really awesome spreadsheet. And it was just a budgeting spreadsheet. And I had tried to do it myself. And I had never really got it the way that I wanted it to. And it wasn't really working for me. Someone gave me this spreadsheet. And I modified it to use myself. And then I started tracking things, right? And I was seeing where all the money was flowing in my life. Whether it was to retirement accounts or to a brokerage account or to a bill, right?
Right.
And then I started breaking my cost each month down to a very granular level.
Right.
I knew what I was spending on water each month. I knew what my average electric bill was. And then I got it as granular as I know how much I'm at on average spending at Amazon or Dutch Bros or Costco.
Got it.
And so when you have a really accurate budget and you know where all the money's moving, it's a lot harder for stuff to slip through the cracks.
Right.
And so I'm glad that you brought that up. And when you said budgeting apps, one of the things that I used that was really great was we bank through Chase, right? And so Chase, we use a credit card. We put basically everything on that and we pay it off at the end of the month. And one of the cool things about, and I'm not, that's not advice,
yes,
by the
please.
Way. That's not advice. That's probably abnormal. A lot of people don't do it that way.
It's a great, it's a slippery slope. If you can do it.
Yeah. Dave Ramsey would smack me upside the head and fling me out of my chair for saying that. But
and there's plenty of advantages to it. I agree.
100%. I just like the points and I have a hard cut. When I get to when I start to approach a certain number, I know that we are at the end of the rope and I'm like, hey, wife, we need to collectively shut this thing down. But the budgeting part inside the app is what was cool because that was what allowed me to go back over 2 years of expenses Mm-hmm. And then I literally broke it down by category and started using averages. And I've been sharing that with people, and it's been working for other people. So that's been cool to watch. If you have a budget, you have a much better understanding of how money is moving in and out of your life.
And you may be even surprised at how much the online banking is done now.
Yeah.
How much of it tracks that?
There's a lot of great resources
inside your online bank.
I don't do this. I probably should. It'll ping you. You can set, okay, I know my groceries need to be about $1,200 a month. I can set an alert inside the Chase app that says, hey, dude, you just hit $1,250. You might want to slow it down.
You need to hit the gym.
Yeah. So it has some features in there that'll start pinging you to tell you to start to shape up.
Mm-hmm.
People, I don't think very many people do that.
No.
What percent of the population is actually watching? Actively watching, I would.
I mean, 15% maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Then I think you're being very generous. So good one. I like that, Justin. Way to bring up the budgeting apps. And I touched on like the AI tools earlier.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of AI can help you do this. Now, how safe it is or whatever, that's a whole other story. But because a lot of them use your information, so I don't know how much you want to put into that.
Yeah,
but
vet them before.
Yeah, for sure. What about online banking? That's one.
That's online banking can do some very interesting things. I mean, I'm not going to say which bank we use because there's no reason for that. But it takes like an average spending of what we do each week.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's less than that, it jams that amount into savings.
Really?
Yeah. And it's great.
That's a cool thing.
And I've seen other ones that like round up. You know, you spend $19.20. It rounds 80 cents into savings or some sort of investment vehicle.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Some people use that. I personally like to just automate everything where it's like I have a certain amount come out every single month that goes into a certain account.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like I don't want to – because guess what? We're human and we're lazy by – most of us are at least, right? It's like if I have to manually go do something every single month, I'm going to forget about it most of the time. Yeah, so –
auto pay is real. Just track it.
By the way, I kind of hate auto pay. I know. I'm weird on that one. I like to actually pay my mortgage every month. I don't like auto pay on that one for whatever reason. But that probably makes me a psychopath somehow.
Just give it till the family of four gets a little older.
Right.
And other people are spending it.
I know.
That might change your
I actually almost forgot to do it this month. It was like the other day and I was like, ooh, I have literally one more day left to do this. One day it's going to bite me, but.
Retirement calculators are another real one.
Yep.
Especially if you're finding your number that one you're contributing, you have balance that you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your kind of need is in retirement. See if you're on track.
That's a good one. What about price shopping? Think about it. Back in the day, you wanted a tool. You went to JCPenney or you went to Sears. Sears.
What kind of tools you buy?
You went to Sears and you got your thing and that's what it was, right?
Right.
Now you have Home Depot in-store, Lowe's in-store. You have their online part. Now you have Amazon. Now you have Walmart. And you have all of these different competitors that are trying to compete for your business.
Yep.
And so what are you able to do? Sometimes you're able to get an outstanding deal.
Yeah.
And if you actually shop, I have a rule. I just don't buy anything at full price. Like once in a while, granted, once in a while, maybe once a month, something gets purchased at full price. But it boils my blood. I like a deal. So go out there and shop it.
Yeah. I mean, financial education has never been more accessible now.
Mm-hmm.
And so use it to your advantage. I mean, a lot of things can either be automated or tracked, you know, depending on how you're wired, to where you won't feel behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that that's hard to say with how expensive life has gotten even recently. Stay disciplined. It'll work.
I want to argue with you over something.
Okay.
So one of the bullet points we had put together for this show was this question of would you rather? Okay. So let me ask you a question. Would you rather have today's like financial technology and information, or would you rather go back and live 30 years ago and be in that world where you're, you know, probably paying for stock trades, or you have a guy that you call? What do you prefer? Today's like Robin Hood style experience, or like the days of old? What do you pick?
I hate that I'm gonna say this, but I feel
don't answer. We're going on break. Oh, look at that. I set you up, Justin. I set up our listeners too. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we get back, Justin will reveal his answer to that hot and heavy question. All right, let's take a break. You guys are listening to 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, Justin, it's that time. When we left our listeners off, we were talking about the question I gave you, which was, do you take today, living in today's financial world of like information buzzing everywhere, 700 media outlets covering stuff, and trading in the market with all of the DIY stuff, or do you go back in time 30 years and live in that era for being like a participant in the market? What do you think?
That's a hard one, because do I have all the information I have now and then can I go back 30 years?
That's a great question.
If that's the case, then sign me up 30 years ago for sure.
And
it's hard one to even argue is even the other way around, is I feel like things were a little more simplified.
I guess if it was exactly 30 years, we'd be dropping you into the market in 1996. And so you'd be 3 years away from
it. Yeah. I mean, that'd be fun.
Right? Like, hey, put all your money in and then whammy. No, that's not what I'm saying. Like, just,
I guess I know what to expect in the last 30 years. So that one's just more comforting for me. I guess the ease of everything, of how probably prefer now.
I feel like the market operates almost in a different fashion than it did.
It does.
Because of
we're in a new cycle.
It feels like it, right? Like, I don't think that that you lose the core investment like philosophy that has kind of stuck around for
just the innovation changes.
Yeah, I think just information's moving really, really quickly, and mm-hmm. everyone is just wanting the market to win. And so the sell side just seems to like be like, people don't seem as panicked as they used to.
Right.
And also the other side of that coin is I feel like the US government is intervening way more than it ever used to in the markets. And so I feel like between government officials and all the other people that are participating in the market,
mm-hmm.
it feels like things are a little bit different than they maybe were 50 to 60 years ago. So fair answer. Okay. So let me ask you, Justin, how might people kind of lean into this last segment of the day? How might people kind of identify that they might be further ahead than what they might think? One of the big ones, I think, is a lot of people don't think about like necessarily the amount of equity that they have in their house.
Yep.
Right? Because we're paying our mortgage, we're going about our life, we might be looking at investment accounts. But one of the ways that you can really like have a huge gain financially is the unrealized amount that is the equity in your home.
Equity in your home.
Yeah.
And which, you know, this kind of brings up is, what are people comparing themselves to?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And especially if you're looking to, you know, 5 years ago, what's your home value worth now versus what it was 5 years
ago? Just looking at net worth over the last 5 years. And what's crazy is even though that might have changed, right, that inflation piece we talked about,
mm-hmm.
you might be kind of living the same as you were five right. years ago, even though it has changed. But I do get it. Like, if you just look at the raw numbers, yeah, I bet a lot of people are significantly more well off than they were 5 years ago. But we did print, what, 25% right. of all the money that exists or something crazy in the last 5 years. So, yeah, that happened.
And, I mean, with the comparing, I think, with, like, you know, this as compare, what are you comparing to not social media? You know, in the last 5 years, do you have less debt than you did 5 years ago?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, those are still wins.
They are. I think it's positive, or I think it's a good thing to see the silver lining in all yep. of this. And I think that's what you're alluding to is, like, yeah, you might actually have less debt. Your emergency fund might have grown. Your income is probably higher because wages yep. are, you know, picking up a little bit.
Your so, retirement accounts, if you have them, are probably higher.
Yeah. Yeah, unless you've really botched it, yep. you know. Yeah. So, no, those are really good points. So, for as much gloom and doom as the media might kind of want to portray, what if you're doing all right?
Yep.
So, Justin, talk to me a little bit about kind of what it is that we do as a business, because, you know, we don't have a lot of time left. And yeah. there's someone out there that's listening to this, and they are genuinely like, hey, I heard everything that you said, but I don't quite know if I actually am doing very well or not. I'm struggling with the budget thing. I know right. what my account balances are, but I don't know if it's enough. I'm maybe looking to retire now or 5 years from right. now or even 10 years from now, and I just want to make sure that I'm on track or that this, in theory, should go smooth. What do they do? How do they contact us? What does it look like for them to come in?
Well, I mean, they can always call the office.
Sure.
541-375-0898. I even got it right.
There you go.
Shoot us an email, info@littlejohnfs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something you're trying to just, even trying to figure out how to get started, where to get started.
Call what, Justin's personal cell phone.
Yeah, call my personal cell phone. I don't answer it very often, but you can. But kind of just come in and get an inventory.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
and ask when, the yeah. questions, get the information.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If it's not, if the consultation doesn't cost you anything, what do you have to lose?
Right.
And if you keep putting it off, then guess what? You start to run out of options as yep. the years fly by. And guess what? Talking about time flying by, Justin, we are officially out of time. So we're going to sign off. We're going to see you next Tuesday. But you guys have been awesome. Thanks for listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.